The uprising against police brutality and racism continued across the country this weekend, and protesters are showing no signs of letting up. And in California and Georgia, more high-profile incidents of potential brutality against black men have emerged. First, we go to Atlanta, where Friday night, an Atlanta police officer shot and killed Rashard Brooks, a 27-year-old black man who had been asleep in his car at a Wendy's drive-thru. According to the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, two officers began to handcuff Brooks after he failed a sobriety test. When Brooks resisted, an officer tried to use a taser on him, which Brooks took from the officer before running away. Security camera footage from the scene appears to show Brooks fired the taser in the direction of the officers but continued running. One of the officers, Garrett Rolfe, then shot Brooks three times, twice in the back. Here's L. Chris Stewart, an attorney for Brooks' family, speaking at a press conference over the weekend.
We see from the protesters, we see from the people in the streets of all races now, that people are sick of watching black men murdered. The one thing that nobody can disagree with is that it shouldn't have happened. But it did because the value of African-American males' lives in the inner city or wherever doesn't mean too much to officers nowadays.
Rolfe, the officer who shot and killed Brooks, was fired by the Atlanta Police Department, and the other officer was placed on administrative duty. On Saturday, Police Chief Erica Shields resigned, and on Sunday, authorities ruled Brooks' death a homicide. Now to California, where in the city of Palmdale, the body of Robert Fuller, a 24-year-old black man, was found hanging from a tree on Wednesday morning. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department initially ruled his death a suicide, but several of Fuller's family members and friends say they do not believe he had been suicidal and that his death may have been a lynching. Fuller's death comes just 2 weeks after Malcolm Harsh, a 38-year-old black man, was found hanging from a tree in Victorville, California. Local law enforcement say they don't suspect foul play in Harsh's death, but in a statement to the Victorville Valley News, Harsh's family wrote, quote, "The explanation of suicide does not seem plausible. There are many ways to die, but considering the current racial tension, a black man hanging himself from a tree definitely doesn't sit well with us right now." Listeners, we know these stories aren't easy to hear, especially at the frequency at which they're happening, but we need to talk about it, and we're going to do that today. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, how these cases fit into the nationwide racial justice uprising. Joining me now is Stephanie Stokes, a reporter for WABE in Atlanta. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Also with us is Cerise Castle, a reporter and producer for KCRW in Los Angeles. Cerise, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Stephanie, let's start with you. There have been several videos of the Rashard Brooks killing that have been made public. This is the Atlanta incident. How much did we learn from these videos as opposed to the information that's been put out by law enforcement so far?
So we now have surveillance video, cell phone video, body cam footage, dash cam footage. And if you put it all together, I think that we are seeing a fuller picture of the incident. It started, the first descriptions described it as a struggle between the officers and Brooks. But what we now know is that the incident really lasted more than 30 minutes where the interactions between the officers and Brooks were very low-key and pretty cordial, actually. He'd been asleep in the drive-thru at Wendy's when officers arrived, and they're chatting with him, asking him how much he's had to drink. Officials say he failed a sobriety test. At one point, he asks officers if he can just walk home, but the officer, Officer Rolfe, says he's been having too much to drink, and that's when he begins to arrest him. And it's at that point that things really take a different turn, and things happen really fast. That's when the struggle does begin, and Brooks runs. he has a taser from the officer, and the officer follows him and shoots him.
Stephanie, you said things happened really fast, and I think one of the things that also happened really fast was the response, at least the initial response from to this killing. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, before Brooks was killed, initially said she would not support cuts to the Atlanta Police Department budget. But since the killing, Atlanta's police chief, as we mentioned at the top, Erica Shields, has resigned, and the officer who killed Rashard has been fired. What do we know about whether or not Keisha Bottoms, Mayor Keisha Bottoms, is shifting her position on how she sees the police department in light of this killing?
Well, I think we're going to see that very soon. Right now, we are in the middle of the city council is considering the proposed budget, and there's actually a city council meeting today where I think we're going to hear a lot from people during public comment, and there is a listening session tomorrow. But yeah, like you said, right now the police budget is intact. The mayor has supported raises for police officers. There's been a big effort to make sure Atlanta police officers can live in the city of Atlanta, which is becoming increasingly unaffordable. So she's really made that an effort of her administration. Reducing the budget would be a change for her. And yeah, in regards to the speed, it is a big difference from past incidents of police shootings in Atlanta. Some have still not been resolved after a few years. So the fact that the police chief would resign within 24 hours and that we're seeing dash cam footage, these sort of details about the shooting come out so quickly, it's really a change.
Cerise, I want to bring you in here because there are two cases that we're looking at now in California. Initially, in the case of Robert Fuller, why was local law enforcement in Palmdale, California, so quick to rule Robert Fuller's death a suicide?
That's really the question that community members and Fuller's family are asking themselves. They haven't really offered an explanation as to why that suicide ruling was made. The mayor of Palmdale simply offered the explanation that when the sheriff's deputies come out and do their preliminary investigation, they write down what they see. And that's really all the news that we've had insofar as to why Fuller's death was labeled as a suicide.
Cerise, over the weekend, you've been covering this story and you tweeted that the area where Robert Fuller's body was found hanging from a tree, there had also been several recent high-profile incidents involving white supremacists. Can you tell us a little bit about those incidents?
Definitely. For those who don't know, the Antelope Valley is known in Southern California for really being a bastion for white supremacists. And this goes back for decades, going all the way back to redlining on housing policy in the 80s to as recently as 2016, that incident that you mentioned where three white men were charged with a hate crime after attacking a group of Latinx people in a park. This was also the day after a Ku Klux Klan rally was held not too far away from the area. And the Ku Klux Klan also has made their presence very known in Palmdale. I mean, just as recently as 2007, they were distributing leaflets and flyers in neighborhoods.
There are two black men that have been found hanging from trees in California. The second black man that we're talking about today who died in this way is Malcolm Hirsch. Cerise, tell us about how the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department has been handling that case and whether it's similar to how the police department is handling Robert Fuller's death.
So initially, both of the law enforcement agencies were handling this death the same way. They ruled them as suicides and proceeded to move about as such. With Robert Fuller, the backlash from the community prompted local government to step in and actually part with the sheriff's department and say that they wanted a full investigation. That was a statement that came from the mayor of Palmdale. In San Bernardino, though, things are moving about business as usual. Malcolm Hirsch's death is still being looked at as a suicide. And insofar, they don't really have any plans to change that ruling as far as I'm aware. It's a little bit harder for the community to apply pressure as the Hirsch family is based in Ohio. Malcolm, as far as I know, was the only member of the family who's here in Southern California. So I think it's been a little bit harder for the family to get the traction from the community to draw attention to the case. But I know Malcolm's name is being lifted up high at every Robert Fuller rally and protest that I have attended. So the Antelope Valley is definitely advocating for Malcolm's death to be investigated as well.
Stephanie, to circle back with you in Atlanta, we mentioned how quickly the response was, at least at initially, with the chief of police, Erica Shields, stepping down and other steps being taken to address this. How much of that, Stephanie, has to do with the public pressure that we're seeing applied from protesters who have not let up now for going into a third week?
Oh, I think that is a really significant point. This does follow 2 weeks of demonstrations in Atlanta as well as around the country, and we've seen thousands of people come to the streets here. Those really felt like a response to these killings that we've seen nationally, the death of George Floyd, of course. But we have heard activists try to shine a light on some of the incidents that have happened in Atlanta and have been unresolved. And where officers have not been held accountable. But this case on Friday actually came while protests were starting to taper off here. I mean, there were still hundreds of people, but not the thousands we'd been seeing. And so this really reignited those protests. And I think protesters here have been trying to say, you know, Atlanta isn't special. The city likes to promote itself as the so-called city too busy to hate. It's the birthplace of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And the political and business leaders try to say it's a place where people of all races get along. And I think what I'm hearing from protesters is exhaustion, and also trying to point out that Atlanta needs to change too.
Stephanie Stokes is a reporter for WABE in Atlanta, and Cerise Castle is a reporter and producer for KCRW in Los Angeles. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.